you've only gone and downloaded a multiplesources.net podcast. For more episodes of this show and a bunch of other content covering everything from NBA teams to professional wrestling, visit multiplesources.net. Multiplesources.net. But wait, act now and you too could join multiplesources.net. Yeah, we're looking for people to do their own podcasts about different NBA teams. We're looking for blog authors, video highlight creators, basically anything you can think of to write about sports, you can kind of write or create to your heart's content. So if you want to help us and join this up-and-coming independent blog and podcast network monster, go to multiplesources.net. I'll stick something in the sidebar that says join us or something equally unfunny. So go and click on that. Join.
Hello, and welcome to a Leap Day edition of It's Always Sunny in Phoenix. It's a weekly podcast where three Suns fans discuss the team as well as general NBA and sports thoughts. I'm Mitch, your host, and joining me as always are Charlie and David. How's it going, guys?
Hey, what's up?
How's it going?
It's good. February is almost over. We have the one extra day that we get every 4 years. Are you guys doing anything exciting with that day? I know I'm not, but are you guys?
I'm working, so no.
There you go.
I'm just going to soak in that sweet extra 24 hours.
Good. That's the way to go right there. okay, let's just start recapping here. Unfortunately, we have to start with the game at the Clippers, the only away game of the month. It was Monday, the 22nd. I covered it. It was horrible. I'm going to keep this really short because it was really painful. 124-84 loss. That pretty much says it all. Even in a season where we're tanking, that one still really hurt. It was, you know, there was some trash talk going on. Just a lot of bad, broken plays. We never really got anything going. I can't even really think of a bright spot. Maybe Alex Len, but he's more of a bright spot in these other games. So I'm just going to leave it at that. If you want to see the stats, look at the box score, but I would advise not doing that. It's not pretty. So, yeah, I want to move on from this one as fast as possible. So let's get our one-sentence recaps. Who wants to start on that?
I'll take it.
Okay.
Even while you are tanking away your season, losing by 40 points is not acceptable.
Very true. David?
On to the next one.
Yep. And the next one also was pretty bad. It was much closer, but still pretty bad. And that was the game versus Brooklyn, Thursday the 25th. And you had that, David.
Hold on.
Oh my gosh, I did it again. I said I wasn't going to. Sorry. Results of the challenge.
That's right.
It's because I'm really losing now. Okay. Which son will have the most points? We all said Devin Booker, and it was Archie with 20. So no points. Bonus one, who will score the first points of the game? Charlie and I said DeAndre Jordan, and David said J.J. Redick. Charlie even went as far to say that J.J. Redick would miss a three and DeAndre Jordan would put it back. But the answer was J.J. Redick with a made three, so David gets a point
there. How about that?
You see why I wanted to skip it now. how many rebounds will Chris Humphries have? I said seven. Charlie said 8, David said 5. The answer was 7. I got it right on the dot, got the point. But Chris Humphries isn't even a son anymore. So I guess that question was timed pretty well. bonus 3. What percentage will the Clippers shoot from 3-point range? I said 42%. Charlie said 38. David also said 38. The answer, unfortunately, was 54.2% on 13 for 24 shooting.
Oof.
So I got the point there, but I'm not happy about it. So the final score at the end of that game, I have 12. Charlie has 9. And David has 12. So tie at the top. Now we can move on.
Now we can do this one.
Go ahead.
All right. So I covered that game. It was bad just about from the start. We were happened to play catch up or tried to play catch up the entire game. It was kind of good for our old guys, as I referred to them. Ronnie Price and Tyson had good games. What I had was Ronnie Price had 16 points and 4 steals and was able to score pretty decently, and then Tyson had 12 points and 11 rebounds, getting a double-double, which is what he's been able to do. And then Mirza was the big highlight from the game, scoring 30 points on 12 of 13 shooting, and he grabbed 11 rebounds. And even though we lost, seeing a performance like that from him where he was the focal point on offense was pretty nice.
Yeah, definitely. Charlie, what's your one-sentence recap?
All right, pretty similar to my recap from the Clippers game. Even while you are tanking away your season, letting the game get ugly against the lowly Nets is not acceptable.
Lots of unacceptableness.
Completely unacceptable. Until the Memphis game.
Yeah. I'm going to try to be a little bit more positive in mine. I'm going to say, even the sleeved jerseys can't stop Mirza from shooting well. He had a good game. It was pretty exciting.
He really did. Career highs.
Yeah.
And points and rebounds.
Yeah, yeah. It was nice. And then we were talking right before recording this, saying a little fun fact that Mirza was the high scorer for the Suns, and then the high scorer for the Nets. Remind me of his name again.
Bogdanović.
Bogdanović, but it's Bojan or something like that.
Okay, Bojan, I think. Okay, thank you. He was the high scorer for the Nets, and they're both from the same town in Bosnia and Herzegovina. And that town produces, like, the tallest people in the world. So, pretty interesting.
Fun fact.
Yeah. Okay, so now we can get to the really exciting part. The game versus Memphis. Saturday the 27th. David also covered that. So what did you think? Oh, wait. I forgot the results again.
Way to go.
Dropping the ball.
I forgot at that least time I too, so.
Okay, here we go. Which son will have the most points? I said Devin Booker. Charlie and David said Mirza. And Charlie and David both got 2 points because Mirza had 30. How many minutes will Tyson Chandler play? We all said 0. The answer was 33, but we were all equally as close. So I'm giving us all 1.
There we go.
Bonus 2. How many points will John Luehr have? I said 18. Charlie said 12. David said 10. The answer was 4. So David plus 1.
Woo!
And bonus 3 was, will Mirza Teletovic start? We all said no, and the answer was no. So we all get plus 1 there. Final score after the Brooklyn game, I have 14, Charlie with 13, and David with 17.
Ooh, David. Pull away. David.
Can I get my victory parade yet? That way I can retire and not have to.
No, we got to go all season. You can't be Peyton Manning. Okay, now we can get on to the Memphis game, which was great. So go ahead, David.
So, if we would have lost the Memphis game, we would have broken the franchise record for most consecutive losses. And you could tell that a lot of the guys didn't want that to happen. And they came out of the gate exploiting the absence the Grizzlies had down low with Marc Gasol out and Brandon Wright starting. And the first score of the game for the Suns was a dunk by Len. And it was just, that kind of set the tone. We were able to bully them in the paint, and which was the opposite of what normally happens when we play Memphis, which is us getting bullied. We out-rebounded them, which was, hold on 1 second, 56-33. Had 20 more rebounds than them, and we had 16 of our 56 were offensive rebounds. It was just a strong game, and when even when Memphis tried to slow down and do their patented, as I said it, grit and grind, the Suns decided to slow down as well, and they were intent on beating Memphis at their own game, and they were able to. Alex Len was the leading scorer and really killed it for the Suns against Memphis. He had 22 points and 16 rebounds, shot 7 of 11 from the field, and hit 8 of his 12 free throws. He was just killing it. He also added a steal and 2 blocks. It was crazy because he only had four boards and 5 points. 5 points, 4 rebounds in the first half, and ended with 22 and 16. So he really brought it in the second half. And then the other bright spot was E.J. Tucker with his defense and showing some versatility. He's had 17 points, 11 rebounds, and 7 assists. So he was big. Both those guys were huge for the Suns. Of course, Mirza, I think he had 18. I don't have that in front of me. But it was just, all in all, a good win, and it broke the losing streak, which was a little bit better, even to add on to the win.
Nice. Good stuff. Yeah. A win felt good. Charlie, what's your one-sentence recap?
That was fun, but let's not get too carried away here. I got my eyes on the top 3 pick.
Yeah. Mine is kind of similar. I'm just going to say, I still like winning. But one thought I had about this is, how do you guys think the players feel in this situation? They know that the team needs to lose in order to have chances at a higher pick and things like that. But their whole goal in their careers is to win. So, I mean, what do you think is going through their minds in this situation?
I think that first and foremost, I think it's the season has turned to all about development and building the team chemistry. I think that's the big thing, and I think the players know that. It was just development, building your chemistry, you know, getting more familiar, getting that with your guys, the guys that'll be there next year too. The team had playoff hopes before Bledsoe went down, even though there was a 4-game losing streak, I think, when Bledsoe went down. There were high hopes, and it's become the opposite of those hopes. So I know that while winning is detrimental to the pick, I think winning a game here and there shows that the development is coming along, the chemistry is coming along, that these guys are feeling each other out and getting and know where they're going to get their spots here and there.
Okay, yeah. What were you going to say, Charlie?
Yeah, I think there's no one will say it, but there's quite a variation of opinion when it comes to the difference between veterans and rookies and guys later in a contract, guys early in their contract. I think they all have different thoughts on it, but I don't see PJ wanting, like, PJ Tucker has to just be going nuts right now. He probably hates this. He's getting towards the middle, towards the end of his career, really. He doesn't want to sit back and lose games and hope for a good draft pick to come take over, especially with young guys being drafted now. A lot of them aren't ready for a few years. And then there's a guy like Devin Booker who he knows he's going to be here for a long time, and he would love a great rookie next year to kind of grow with and run with. But he can't He can't take it easy. He's progressing right now. He can't take nights off. It's a tough thing for players, I'm sure, but what it really comes down to, I suppose, is how Coach Watson uses his rotations and who he chooses to play and when. That's kind of what it comes down to.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, well, we'll see. It's not looking like we'll be getting that many more wins, but you just got to take everyone you can get and enjoy it. So let's do the results of our challenge. This is where things get pretty interesting. So the two-pointer, which Sun will have the most points, I said Devin Booker again. Charlie said Mirza, and David said Devin Booker as well. But the answer was Len with 22, which I'm fine with us all being wrong there. Len has been awesome.
For sure.
Yeah.
I am totally okay with Len showing us wrong.
Oh, yeah. Bonus one. How many threes will Devin Booker take? I said 4. Charlie and David said 5. The answer was 9. So Charlie and David plus 1 there. And that's another one. I'm okay being wrong. He needs to be putting up those shots. Bonus 2. Who will have more assists, Zach Randolph or Alex Len? We all said Randolph, and the answer was both of them had 1. So none of us got points there because they were tied. Bonus 3. Who will attempt the most shots on either team? I said Mirza. Charlie said PJ, and David said Archie, and the answer was Booker and Conley, both with 16, so no points there. The final score at the end of the games from last week, I have 14, Charlie also has 14, and David has 18.
Ooh.
So, getting some separation.
We have some catching up to do.
The race is now for second.
Yeah. Well, you keep picking Devin Booker, and you know, I hope you get some of those two-pointers. Maybe I'll join you just on those Bookers. We'll see.
Yeah, just watch the next 4 games. I'm going to pick him for all 4 games because I said I would. Watch, he's the leading scorer for all 4 of them. That would be amazing. Okay, but speaking of previews, we can move on to those now. The first one is at Charlotte. That's Monday, March 1st. I'm covering that. It's a winnable game, but I don't know if we want to win. We've beat the Hornets before this season, and I think they're a pretty good team. I think they're better than their record reflects. The other day, they beat the Pacers by 1 point. On a game-winning shot, really exciting. They're a good team, but we've beat them before. We can do it again, and we just have to decide. I think we have to decide if we want to win or lose. It's not always that simple, but this is winnable. We'll see. It's really hard to predict because I know we can beat them. We'll just see which team shows up. If the team that beat Memphis shows up, we'll win. If the team in the 2 games before that shows up, we'll lose. So, we'll see. Charlie, you want to pick a key to that game?
Yeah, the Suns need to keep playing with heart. Saturday night's game against the Grizzlies was really a breath of fresh air. The team put together 4 good quarters and gave it their all game and picked up the W. This season has been rough, and the losing streak that we just ended was on the verge of becoming unwatchable basketball, if you ask me. So it was really nice to see that Saturday night. So win or lose, let's just hope the Suns come out and play good ball for all 4 quarters.
Yeah, I like that. And then David, your player to watch.
So my player to watch is going to be Kemba Walker.
Yeah.
He's got ice in his veins. He's really good. He scores. He does everything. He's not a great jump shooter, but he makes up for it. Of course, I'm not that confident with this game. We also, when we played, no, we also, when we played them last, they didn't have Nick Batum or Al Jefferson. And now they have Courtney Lee as well that they traded for. So even though they don't have MKG, they did add another 3-and-D guy. So those are going to be all other players to watch that how we are able to match up with. And we'll kind of see how it goes. But but definitely player to watch is Kemba, because
yeah, definitely.
He can be scary.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, so for the challenge, 2-pointer, which son will have the most points? Again, in an earlier podcast, I said I was going to pick Devin Booker till I got it right, so I'm going to keep doing that. Charlie, who do you pick there?
I'm going Booker with you on this one.
I like it. And David?
I think I'm going to go Marissa.
Okay. And then the next question, how many minutes will new son John Jenkins have? I'm going to go pretty low on this because he hasn't been playing a lot. He had 4 minutes the other night. I think I'm going to go 6. I think he's going to get a little more than that, but not much.
I had down 10. I think we're going to start working him in a little bit more.
Okay.
He had, how many did he have the last two? Did you just say? 4.5?
4, I believe.
4.5, babe. I'll say 5.
5. Okay, and the next question, who will have more rebounds, Ronnie Price or Jeremy Lin? I'm going to go Price on this one.
I'll go Lin, since he's not always playing the point guard and isn't always falling back.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to go Lin. Price doesn't really grab a whole lot of boards. His big stats most of the time that he's able to put up with are he'll get more steals than people, but so
yeah.
He's not necessarily always around the rim.
And then the final question for this game, what percentage will the Hornets shoot from the free throw line? I'm going to say 70%.
76.
Okay.
They're averaging about 78, so I'll go 77.
Okay. There we go. So now we'll talk about the Miami game on Thursday the 3rd. And Charlie, you'll have that. So what are you thinking?
Okay, so we last played the Heat January 8th, and we lost 103-95. That was Goran Dragic and Gerald Green's first game back in Phoenix. And both of them lit us up, and they combined for 43 points. Dwayne Wade also had a really nice game, going for 27, and I distinctly remember it looked like he turned back the clock and was playing like a version of himself from about a decade ago. That was fun to watch. So a couple things I'm looking forward to. I'm interested to see how the Heat play now that they are without Chris Bosh and with the new addition of Joe Johnson. And I've been enjoying watching these matchups that Devin Booker has been in this season. It seems like he gets matched up with a veteran guy that gets up on him and tries to intimidate him a little bit. And this game will be no different with potential matchups of Wade and Johnson. And finally, I would not be surprised if Dragic had a big game against us, but hopefully Ronnie Price and that intense defense can keep him under wraps.
Okay, yeah, all good stuff. What's your key to the game, David?
My key to the game is going to be rebounding. The Heat are a slower team. They are more of a defensive team. I think if we can out-rebound them on both sides of the glass, maybe not on our offense, but if we can get more offensive rebounds than them, if we can get more defensive rebounds than them, I think that we have a shot.
Okay, nice. So then I'm going to pick a player to watch, and I'm going to go Hassan Whiteside on this just because I like his matchup with Len potentially, and Len has been playing really well lately, and I'm excited to see if that can continue against more quality big guys. Whiteside kind of burst onto the scene out of nowhere a little bit and played really well last year. He's playing pretty well this year too. And I'm just excited to see the matchup between him and Len. And then for our challenge here, which son will have the most points? Two-pointer. I'm going Booker.
Let's go Mirza this time.
Mirza? Okay.
I think I like Mirza too.
Okay. Bonus one. How many threes will Dwayne Wade make? Gonna say, let's go three.
I'll go two.
Okay.
I am going to say one.
One.
Ooh.
Okay. And then bonus two, which team will shoot more free throws? I think I'm gonna say the Heat. Because especially in the game against the Grizzlies, we were pretty aggressive. And I know Devin Booker fouled out in that game. So I'm going to say Heat.
Same here.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to say Heat as well.
Okay. And then bonus three. Which team will call a timeout first? Let's go. I said Heat on the last one, so I'll go Suns here.
The Suns always call the first timeout.
Okay.
I'm going Suns as well.
Okay. And that's it for that one. So now we will preview the game at Orlando the next day, Friday the 4th. And David, you've got that, so what do you think?
We played Orlando earlier in the season. It was not a bad game. I think we actually pulled it out. And that was a last second game that we were able to do that. Orlando has made some moves recently. They look like a young team that is just trying to win. That their matchups are going to be interesting to see. They're starting right now Elfrid Payton, Victor Oladipo, Evan Fournier, Aaron Gordon, and Vucevic. I like all those guys, and I think that all those guys match. It's going to be interesting to see how they match up with our starting five. And it'll especially, do we go with more Quinn Towers? Do we not? You know, that'll be all things to watch. I'm interested to see how we play. As I said, those matchups.
Okay, good stuff. So I'm going to pick a key to the game real quick here. And you touched on it, David. But I think it's going to be to contain Orlando's explosive players. Aaron Gordon, we all saw in the dunk contest, really explosive. Payton isn't a great shooter, but he's an explosive guy. Oladipo, too. So, yeah, I think that's the key. Who's your player to watch, Charlie?
Well, going right in line with you guys, I'm going to be watching for Aaron Gordon. And that's partially because I'm still really hyped up about his performance from the dunk contest. But he's one of those really athletic power forwards that we might have trouble keeping locked down and keeping up with him up and down the court all night. If we start our twin tower lineup of Len and Chandler, Len might have some length that he can use on him, but definitely doesn't have the speed Gordon has. And then if we get Mirza or Lure on him, that might be a little rough on us. So I'm watching for Aaron Gordon.
Okay. The challenge. Two-pointer. Which son will have the most points? Booker for me.
Going Archie. I think Archie's due for a big game.
Okay, I'm going to take a flyer And this is going to hurt. I'm going to go line.
Okay.
If he can stay out of foul trouble, then he should have a good matchup.
Yeah. Okay. Here we go. I'm hoping this will be an easy one. Bonus one. Who will have a better shooting percentage, Elfrid Payton or Devin Booker? I'm going to say Booker.
See, that's kind of sneaky because Payton's the kind of guy that could maybe only shoot layups for a whole game if he had it his way.
That's true.
But I'll go Booker with you, too.
I think I'm going to go with... I'm going to go Elfrid Payton.
Okay. Ooh, that's going to really stretch that lead or bring me and Mitch a little closer.
Yeah.
Exactly. okay, bonus two. How many points will the Suns score in the second quarter? So, when I'm optimistic, in general, I do pretty well. So, I'm going to say 29.
You should have said, like, 40. But let's go...
not that optimistic.
Let's go 26.
Okay.
Second quarter... I'll say 24.
And then bonus three. How many turnovers will John Luehr have? He's actually had a couple lately, but I'm going to go two.
I have written down here two comedic John Luehr turnovers. Seems like whenever he goofs up, it's just funny.
Okay.
I'm going to say two as well. I don't really think of that, but I'm going to cover okay. My basis, whatever.
Okay. And then here we go. We've got one more to preview here. At Memphis, Sunday, March 6th. We just played them and won. Just got to keep mentioning that. And David, that's yours too. So what do you think?
Yeah, so we've had two really close games against Memphis. One of them we lost on a last-second tip-in. One of them we lost, or the one we won, not one of them we lost, the one that we just won. It makes me feel like we're going to play pretty decently against them. I could see us easily not playing decently and getting blown out. I think that Memphis will, though. They play slow enough that it will be at least a close game. If we want to slow it down, maybe Len can match up well again and get some good stats up there. Maybe EJ is just as fired up. Maybe we see a little bit of that. That's my effing shot from Booker to Lance Stevenson, which we didn't mention was probably one of the best highlights from the game on Saturday. So I feel confident that we can at least hang with them, even if we don't win.
Charlie, what's your key to the game?
All right. Like this last game, I say we need to win the battle of the paint. We've touched on this already, but one thing of note, I noticed Len was catching the ball in the paint, and he had a mouse in the house quite a few times. He had Jeff Green and I think Barnes were matched up on him down low at sometimes, and he knew it. He took advantage of it, and he attacked the rim. So I'm looking forward to us manning the paint again.
Yeah, nice. My player to watch, I'm going to go Mike Conley because he had a good game against us in the last one, and we'll see if he can do it again. So the challenge, who will have the most points? Everyone knows what I'm going.
I'll take Mirza this time.
I'm going with Mirza. Okay.
And then bonus one. Will Conley score more than he did in the previous matchup, which was 19? I think it'll be close either way. But I'm going to say, I'm going to go optimistic. I'm going to go less.
I'll say he scores more.
I think he's going to score less, or around the same. I mean, I think he averages under that. He'll score a little bit more, but we've got some pretty decent defensive matches up with him, so I'll go under. Okay.
Bonus two: how many rebounds will Alex Len have? I'm loving Alex Len lately. I've always liked him, but he's been playing really, really well lately, and I'm gonna say he has 12 in this game.
I'll say 11.
These last three games, three or four games, he's averaged around 10, I think. So I am going to go over that, and I'll say 12 as well.
Okay. And then bonus three, how many points will Tyson Chandler have? I believe he had 7 in the last game against Memphis. I think I'm going to go a little under that. I'm going to go 5.
I'm going for a repeat performance of 7.
I like 7.
Okay. There we go. And that's it for recaps and previews. That was fun. And now we'll move on to our player of the week, Alex Len, who we've talked about him quite a bit, actually, throughout this podcast. He's just been playing great lately. Pulling down rebounds, making great moves in the post, scoring. He's been the leading scorer a few times in the past couple games. Let's see, he had 22 in the Memphis game. Right? Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, yeah. And yeah. So that's really nice. He's just been great. So he went to the University of Maryland. He's originally from Ukraine. He was a guy I really liked in college. I was happy that the Suns got him. What do you guys think about him in general?
I want to say something to everyone that has written off Alex Len already and thought he was a bust by us taking him number 5. So Alex Len is 22 years old. He's been playing basketball for 8 years of his life. And most guys his age have probably been playing organized competitive basketball for like 12, 13 years minimum. And they grew up with the game. While Alex Len was practicing gymnastics, doing cartwheels and backflips while all these other kids were playing basketball. So I just think he has a lot of room left to grow. I think he'll be great. I think he'll be great someday.
Definitely.
Yeah, I know a lot of people question not picking Nerlens Noel at that 5 spot when we picked Alex. There's a reason why we picked Alex, and we picked him purely because he has way more potential. He's 7'1". He is a finesse scorer. He's a finesse scorer. He's all about finesse, but he has the height that you just can't teach. And people love that. It doesn't always work out, but he's putting it together. He really barely played his rookie season. He has been hurt on and off again. If he can stay healthy, when he's 100%, and he's in the starting lineup, he could easily get to the point where he's averaging like 15 and 15 a night.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
He can just get boards. He can grab boards just over people. He's just really good at it. And his scoring, he's coming along where he's learning to not bring it all the way down. He's learning to not try and try and dribble around in the post and here and there, and he's really using his length to his advantage. He's going for a little bit more power here and there, and he's really coming along. And I know a lot of people still don't like that pick, but I'm happy with where he is right now.
Yeah, yeah. Good stuff. So let's talk about what he's good at. And I just want to touch on one thing on that really quick. David mentioned that Len is a finesse scorer, and I definitely think that's true. But he's been working so much on power. You can tell, it's very apparent. And he's had some really nice dunks lately that kind of change the tide of the game, get the guys fired up, you know, and it's just really great. I think that's something that he can definitely do. He can, you know, the team gets bogged down a little bit, maybe the opponent goes on a bit of a run, and he does a nice post move and finishes it with a dunk, and that can change the whole momentum of the game. So, yeah, it's great. But what else is he good at?
I'm a big fan of his rebounding skills. We've talked about that a little bit, but on the defensive end, he's solid. If he's near a ball, I'm not worried about it. Looks like Len's going to pull that down every time. And then he does a great job of creating second chance opportunities on the offensive end with those tip backs, and he'll pull them down himself every once in a while and get a tip in or a put back dunk. So love his rebounding ability, and I think it'll be getting better as he progresses like he has every season.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed his jump shot. It was something that I was a little nervous here and there when he was taking them. I was afraid that he'd start settling for that. But he's gotten to that point where he's at the top of the key. He can knock down that jump shot like it's nothing. That, I think, just really helps his game. Makes people have to honor that jump shot. And right now it's really helping him play alongside other centers. Tyson Chandler's a big role guy. With Len being able to space out a little bit and play the bigger guy, it's letting Tyson actually play better. He's not having to play against the toughest guy on the defensive end, and on offense, he's free a little bit more to roam around and pick his spots here and there. And I really like that. And even though I said he's a finesse, he came out as a finesse scorer. That's where he wants to be, but I'm not knocking his power either. He definitely is getting that power game down as well. So that's all. I love his offensive game. All of that.
And one more thing to touch on. He is a great shot blocker. Not quite in the sense of DeAndre Jordan swatting it out of the court. He'll get in guys' way, he'll alter shots, and he does end up getting a lot of blocks with that length he has. And big wingspan plus being 7'1".
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, when you can force someone to have to adjust, I mean, his arms are long, he's just long in general. He's able to do that, and then when those guys don't adjust, he can almost block shots just standing flat-footed, so...
Yeah, well, nice. He's definitely come a long way, and I'm really happy with his progression so far. We've touched a little bit on these, but what are some things he needs to work on? The thing that I think is, and he's gotten better at this in the past few games, but not bringing the ball down too low because it's easy to get stripped. And not putting the ball on the floor as much in the post, sometimes that's an issue. But what else do you think he could work on?
I've seen this improving lately too, actually, and these two things go hand in hand. Confidence, mm-hmm. and then catching and securing passes when he does get one, especially on a fast break if he's running the floor. I'm always a little nervous when we toss it to Len, but he's been improving on that, and I think once that's just kind of a necessity, a fundamental, catching the ball, but I think he has a little room to grow in that aspect, and it's pretty minimal, but it's something he can fix up.
Yeah, definitely.
My big thing is fouling. He tries to go over guys here and there. when they're getting an entry pass to try and poke it out, and he gets called on it a lot. He has a tough time sometimes against bigger guys not fouling and staying in the game. If he can just clean that up a little bit, he'll have so much more consistency, and there will be less things to knock about his game.
Yeah, and you know, I think that's interesting. A lot of European guys, I think, have trouble going over the back and being a little aggressive sometimes. It's something that I've seen quite a bit. I cover a lot of Gonzaga basketball, and Domantas Sabonis is from Lithuania, and he fouls out quite a bit, has a lot of fouls, and goes over the back. And it's very similar to Alex Len. So it's just interesting to see how that's a difference between European and American players. How about his best game so far? Is there a specific game that sticks out to you guys? I know that the most recent Memphis game it stuck out quite a bit for me, but what do you think about his best game so far?
Yeah, I had the same thought, especially the second half. He was just great, and he looked like and acted like he was the biggest guy on the court, which I don't think he always feels that way, but he definitely was against the Grizzlies.
Yeah.
I'm trying to look up what game it was. I mean, he's had a handful of games where he's pulled down 12, 13, 14 rebounds. He's got a lot of those this season. The game that I actually really liked was against Houston, I think it was, where he pulled down 18 rebounds. I think that was. That looks about right. So I'm going to go with that it was against Houston.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was the game that I really liked. It's really easy to just say the Memphis game because that was a great game. But the Houston game was February 4th, so it was just recent. But he had 9 offensive rebounds, 9 defensive rebounds, 18 altogether. I think that's just one of those games where it shows how he can really clean up on the glass. And there's another game to point towards besides just recently with the Memphis game.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think it's just good to see that he's had a handful of really good games and some games that aren't, you know, he doesn't light up the stat sheet as much, but he's still really solid down low. So, yeah. How about his ceiling? How high do you think that is? I mean, I think he can become a very solid starting center. He can be kind of a 12-12 kind of guy. I think that would be a very nice addition to any team. What do you guys think?
I'd go a little higher, actually. I could see Len being maybe a 16 point per night, 12, 13 rebounds for like a peak season. I could see him doing something like that and throw in a block or two. I think he just has plenty of room to grow. He's only 22, so.
Yeah, definitely.
So his last 4 games, I was just looking at this, he had 23 points and 13 rebounds, 14 points and 8 rebounds, 13 points and 6 rebounds, 22 points and 16 rebounds. I think, I said before, I think he could easily end up getting close to 15 and 15. I think he could easily do, if you want to say, I think the 16 and 13 is also something that he could really do that at his peak. His defense is something that'll get some work here and there, but you know, I think that getting about 16 and 13 is where he could easily end up.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah, if you call Amari Stoudemire a power forward, when's the last time a Sun center did that? If ever. Like I can't even think.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I mean, Amari was a traditional power forward. He was a center in most of our lineups, but that's the last guy that was really doing that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, our numbers may be a little different, but Either way, he's going to be a really solid player, and he's already becoming quite a solid player, so it's great. Charlie, you touched on this, but do you just want to repeat that again, the fun fact you had about him?
Yeah, growing up, he was a big Jackie Chan fan. He liked watching Jackie Chan movies and aspired to be like him, and chose gymnastics as his path to becoming Jackie Chan. But before the podcast, we were talking about imagining 7'1" Alex Len doing a floor routine for a gymnastics event. Yeah. Oh, that'd be too good.
That would be great. Yeah, I think basketball worked out for him.
Absolutely.
And then my favorite segment here, any nicknames? Do either of you have anything?
David?
You know, I've been trying to think. He's long and lanky. Lanky Lynn? I remember actually Zach Lowe was a couple of years ago was talking about New Age centers and was basically relating each long and lanky guy to some sort of spider.
Okay.
So something maybe, I don't remember exactly which one he had gone with, so I'm just going to let that go.
Okay, well, that's okay. do you have one, Charlie?
Kind of. I just think it's funny. But, Big Lenny. Because Lenny's that kind of name where you can't tell, like, should I be afraid of this guy? Like, his name's Big Lenny. You can't tell if he's intimidating or not. And Len's almost a little bit like that, too, because he's a big dude. He's 7'1", 260. But I think he can be kind of a goofy guy. Like, say you get to know Alex Len, he seems like he'd be a goofy guy. Yeah. Maybe that's kind of, like, all 7-foot white guys are probably kind of goofy guys.
Yeah. Yeah,
they either are or they just look goofy, so.
Yeah, I mean, anyone over 7 foot is just kind of sticks out anyway, so. Yeah, I like that. The one that I like, this is not original, so it's kind of a cop-out, but the Suns announcers use the big A, and I really like that. It's simple, but I think it's a pretty good nickname.
I like that too. It's kind of old school. Yeah, I like it.
Okay, well, anything else on Len? Or anything, really, before we wrap it up?
Our relationship with Chris Humphreys lasted about as long as his... I don't need to go on.
Actually, I think that we lasted longer, so...
Yeah, Chris Humphreys and DeJuan Blair. We hardly knew ya.
Happy trails, so, boys. Well, hopefully Humphreys does sign with the Hawks and gets a playoff run in.
Yeah, that would be nice.
I think that he verbally... I think that he committed to, but I'm not sure, so...
Okay. Well, there you go. Okay, well, which game are you guys looking forward to the most in the coming...
I got Orlando, a bunch of young talent, bunch of explosive players, and a little new roster tweak now that they made some trades at the deadline. So, looking forward to them.
I like watching Aaron Gordon, so it's definitely Orlando for me. They're a team that I like to watch whenever I can anyways. So,
yeah.
It's going to suck that they're playing against the Suns, but... We'll still get to watch our young guys.
Yeah, I like that Orlando team too, but I'm going to go with the Charlotte game because, like last week, it is the only game I'm going to be able to watch uninterrupted with nothing else going on. I'm going to be out of town coming up here, and so I'm going to be watching a lot of replays. So, yeah, Charlotte for me. And then non-sports related plugs. What do you guys got this week?
Mine's pretty lame. Do you want to go first, David?
I still have to think of one, so no.
Well, okay. I'll let my lameness shine if you don't mind, then. There you go. All right. So, things warming up in Arizona. I am all about all sorts of dry fit clothing.
Nice.
Like, why did it take so long for this to happen? Like, I know it's been popular for a few years here, and it's produced pretty heavily now, but seems like a few years ago it wasn't a big deal. But it's getting warmer, so go golfing, got the dry fit polo. They even make dry fit shorts now, like golf shorts, athletic shorts are dry fit. So yeah, and the polos were just a game changer because you can wear it out, wear it golfing, you look nice. I'm just all about the dry fit. I have a whole wardrobe of dry fit since I've moved down to Arizona.
Yeah, that's it. I love those dry fit shirts. Those are great. I think that's a great plug. Okay, David, are you ready yet, or do you want me to go?
You go.
Okay.
I almost have something, but I'm still thinking.
Okay. So I'm going to plug another podcast, actually. It's Jake Hurwitz and Amir Blumenfeld. They're two comedians, former College Humor guys. Really, really funny. They have a podcast called If I Were You, and they have their own podcast network called HeadGum. And If I Were You has been going for quite a long time. They're over 200 episodes. HeadGum is fairly new, but I'm a big fan of their podcast. It's really funny. They do advice. People email them in with questions, and the answers are always hilarious. They have really great guests. Rick Fox was actually on. He was really funny. Let's see, who else? Thomas Middleditch and Ben Schwartz are on all the time. There are some bigger names. They're really funny. So yeah, if you're looking for comedy, check that out. It's a really, really funny podcast. I highly recommend it.
And to spare David some extra time here, I actually listened to the one with Thomas Middleditch because I'm a Silicon Valley fan. Silicon Valley is a great show, by the way. But I listened to that, and they were doing the advice, and I was just cracking up. And I listened to a few more after that, but that is a good podcast. I agree with you there.
It's so funny. They've done a few with Tommy Mids, and he is just so funny. He does one where he does a lot of really great voices, and he did a great one where he reads it like a frat guy, and oh my gosh, just him reading the question has me like in tears laughing. But yeah, it's great.
I just saw an Instagram stream of him. He's now doing a German magician, a terrible German magician. So those were some pretty funny clips. Yeah. He's a talented guy. I like him.
All right, I do have... I'm good now. I got...
Okay.
All right, go ahead. This week, there are a couple comics coming out that if you've ever been interested in stuff, there are a couple of things that I think you guys should give a shot to. There's a character called Swamp Thing in DC Comics, and he is a guy from the swamp. He's like a guy that died, and then he became the Swamp Thing, and he's one with the swamp. Anyways, he had this really great run back in the 60s, I think it was, with Alan Moore. I don't think it was actually that long ago, but it was something like that. But one of the other guy that was part of that run is writing a new Swamp Thing comic. And it's on its third issue. The third issue comes out this week. It's just a short little miniseries. And it's super creepy and like an old school horror comic. And it's really good. And then the other one that I want to give a shout out to is Spider-Man. And it's not Peter Parker Spider-Man. They have about like seven different Spider-Man comics. But it's the one that I read. It's written by Brian Michael Bendis. And it is Miles Morales Spider-Man, who is from the Ultimate comic universe that is now part of the mainstream. He's my personal favorite Spider-Man going on right now, and it's only the second issue that's coming out this week. It's a lot of fun. It's interesting stuff. It's good written. It's written well, not good written. It's good written, but it's written well. I would check both of those out because they're both, they're not necessarily similar comics, but they're both a lot of fun.
Nice. Yeah. We'll definitely go check that out then. Well, I think that's about all we have. Thank you for listening. We appreciate it. We appreciate all our international listeners too. We've seen some stats on YouTube on our channel over there. We're getting a lot of international listeners, which is really cool. Appreciate that. Appreciate all our listeners. Follow us on social media, Phoenix Suns, Multiple Sources on Facebook, at Sunny and PHX Pod on Twitter, and then email us with questions, thoughts, suggestions, sunnynphxpod@gmail.com. And then our website, multiplesources.net/Phoenix Suns, and the entire Multiple Sources blog and podcast network. iTunes, It's Always Sunny in Phoenix. YouTube, It's Always Sunny in Phoenix. Thank you for listening. We're looking forward to watching the next couple of games before recording again. And feel free to hit us up on social media. We'll be back next Monday. Go Suns.